Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program, and it is the interview segment with Mufti Farhan Karani. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. How are you, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah. We should have in other countries, Zimbabwe, and they have drought, severe drought, you know, food shortages and things. We make sure Shukar Allah gave us rain and gave us a cool Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. And so far, I'm not sure about other areas, but this past, yesterday's rain and today's rain was quite a nice, calm rain compared to other days. I believe in other areas, it was pretty stormy in those areas.
Yeah, Alhamdulillah. In Cape Town, it's there's devastating rain there. There's winds and flooding, and you know, it's, Alhamdulillah, in Joburg, here we have nice soft rain. It goes into the ground.
Alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahab, as we approaching, I was just looking at the hours now for the moon, the age of the moon here in Joburg and surrounding areas. It's probably going to be about 21 hours, 22 hours. So I'm assuming there is a great possibility of sighting the moon.
There is a possibility of sighting the moon. But if the moon is not sighted, then we will make it on Thursday, inshallah. Gee. Well, the aunties are worried now. You know, they bought, they didn't buy warm clothes for Eid. And now they're worried now, hey, it's raining. Now we must go buy new clothes for Eid. So the moon is, it's possible to sight if you look at, we don't look at astronomical calculations, but if you look at the astronomical calculations, and it's a very slim chance to sight it here in South Africa. But above South Africa, in Zambia, and that you will be able to sight it according to the astronomical calculations. But yeah, we'll see now what happens. We sight it and we make it tomorrow, otherwise on Thursday.
Inshallah. I saw Saudi Arabia, they decided to spot the moon for this Eid.
Did they spot it? Because
I'm saying they took the initiative to go and look for the moon. Normally they don't even look for it, they just say this is the date. So I'm saying maybe this is a start. I don't know.
Inshallah, we hope so. There's just one lesson about that those people who started their Ramadan here in South Africa and then they went for Umrah now and they're there in Saudi. So if they announced Eid today, then they would have fasted 28 days because they started here in South Africa. And today is the 29th year. So they would have to have kept one day qaza after Ramadan, after Eid. But now, Alhamdulillah, they're going to be fasting 29 days. And those who fasted, those who started there and then they came here, and they're going to be fasting 31 rosas here. And somebody was telling me, no, he's not fasting the last day. Wednesday, he's not fasting. If he's not eating on Wednesday, he's not fasting. I said, no, you have to fast. Because it's Ramadan here. You're here now in this country. Now you have to observe the rules the same.
We always look for shortcuts. It's a very pertinent masala because, in fact, now a few days ago when my parents left, my father asked me this question, that what's going to happen because we're going to then be one day short because they'll be there. So in Palestine they'll be. So if it's like how it is now, they're going to be one day short. So then, as Mufti Sahab had mentioned, you'll have to come back to fast. Mufti Sahab, just a question. Yeah, it's fine. They come back and fast it, or does it have to be the next day?
No. After Eid. After Eid.
Anytime. Okay. So coming to this now, Mufti Sahab, Suratul Hadid, inshallah, the tafsir, and Mufti Sahab will share with us, inshallah, a few points.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa al-aqibatul muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa salim, Sayyidina wa habibina wa maulana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Very important points here in the Surah Hadid. There's one ayat in the Surah that Rasulullah s.a.w. said this ayat is more virtuous than 1,000 ayat in the Quran. And there are about 6,233 ayat in the Quran, and you can see this is 1/6 of the Quran, this one ayat. And what does this ayat consist of? This ayat consists of the sifat of Allah Ta'ala, the qualities of Allah Ta'ala, the attributes of Allah Ta'ala, which are only which are exclusive to Allah Ta'ala only. And this surah is the first of amongst the musabbihat. The musabbihat are those surahs which begin with sabbaha. There are five surahs like this. There's Surah Hadid, and Surah Hashar, Surah Saf, Surah Jumu'ah, Surah Taghabun. Rasulullah ﷺ used to recite these surahs every night before he used to go to bed. So we must try to make amal on this and recite these surahs. And what is contained in the surahs, all inspirations and warnings and the mu'min, the signs of the mu'minin, the signs of Allah Ta'ala, and the signs of the munafiqin, etc. So this ayat we were talking about is huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-batin, wa huwa bi kulli shay'in 'alim. Huwa al-awwal means huwa al-awwalu alladhi laysa qablahu shay'. Allah is that being that before him there was nobody and there is nobody. That is Allah. There is nobody before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الْآخِرُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ شَيْءٍ. And Allah is that being that after him there is nobody. وَالظَّاهِرُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ فَوْقَهُ شَيْءٍ. Allah is ظاهر. There is nobody above Allah. And وَهُوَ الْبَاطِنُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ دُونَهُ شَيْءٍ. And there is nobody under, there is nobody like Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is Hakim. Allah Ta'ala is Qadir. So Allah Ta'ala says that he is the first, he is the last. And Allah Ta'ala is supreme. Allah Ta'ala is above everybody. Allah Ta'ala is not under anybody. Allah Ta'ala is above everybody and above his creation. And Allah Ta'ala has full wisdom over what's happening in the universe. And Allah Ta'ala has full qudrat and power over everything which happens in the universe. And Allah Ta'ala, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah Ta'ala has knowledge over of everything. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions about هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاءَ. Allah Ta'ala created the heavens, the skies, and the earth in 6 days. And now this is a very important aqidah of ours. And then ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. So we discussed it just now. هُوَ الَّذِي Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth. You know, these kuffar, they have created a machine. They call it it's an atomic machine. They spent millions, it's not billions of dollars on this machine, years. It took about 10 years to build this. And what they're looking for in this machine, they're looking for the God particle. They're looking for the God particle, which they say is that is the starting point of the entire universe. So imagine, they think of Allah Ta'ala so they think so little of Allah Ta'ala. The God particle is something so minute, they need such huge machinery to spot it under microscopic lenses. That is what they think of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala is so, it's a particle. Na'udhu Billah. And Allah Ta'ala is great. Allah Ta'ala is the greatest being of all. And Allah Ta'ala created everything. This Big Bang theory, it's not true at all. It's a theory. It even tells you it's a theory. You know, it doesn't even make sense. You ask a simple question, you ask a scientist, okay, you say the Big Bang theory exists, that the entire universe came to existence through the Big Bang. I ask you a simple question. When you blow up an atomic bomb or a nuclear bomb, do you get a whole city buzzing, flourishing after the bomb takes place and you get people living there? Or is it the opposite? Everything is destroyed. So if you say that the entire universe was created by a Big Bang, then it doesn't even make sense. A Big Bang created universes and it created the moon and the stars and it created the earth and the water. It just doesn't make sense. And to a logical person, a sane person, doesn't even make sense. So that theory is not to be believed in. It is a theory. It's not part of Islam. Or believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and everything inside within 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Our belief is that Allah Ta'ala took position on the arsh, and however it may be, the Salafis, they believe that Allah Ta'ala is seated on the arsh. We believe that Allah Ta'ala is everywhere. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is everywhere. So Allah istiwa ala al-arsh kama yaliqu bi shanihi. However, it suits Allah Ta'ala. However, Allah Ta'ala is and however Allah Ta'ala made istiwa ala al-arsh, we accept it, we bring iman upon it. And then further on in this surah, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Why? What is wrong with you? Why don't you bring iman in Allah Ta'ala? Why don't you bring it, addressing the entire humanity and all of mankind, all of jinn, that why don't you bring iman in Allah Ta'ala? And وَالرَّسُولِ يَدْعُوكُمْ. The Rasul is calling to you. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. He wants you to bring iman on your Rabb. وَقَدْ أَخَذَ مِثَاقَكُمْ. And you already took your pledge. When we now ask the question, when did we take the pledge? Allah Ta'ala said, you took the pledge. And Allah Ta'ala asked us, when we were in the back of Adam alayhi salam, and we were like small little ants, and Allah Ta'ala asked us, Alastu bi Rabbikum? Am I not your Rabb? Everybody, the entire creation, all of us, we said, Qalu bala. Yes, most certainly, Ya Allah, you are our Rabb. And so we can't deny that there. And some awliya, they remember that time when Allah Ta'ala asked them. Because their ruhs are so pure that they can remember that time when Allah Ta'ala asked us, Alastu bi Rabbikum. And in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are mu'mineen, then you would remember that this year was the pledge was taken from you and Allah Ta'ala asked you, am I not your Rabb? And now how can you deny that Allah Ta'ala is not your Rabb? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is calling you. So the ulama and the pious people, they call out, come towards Allah Ta'ala's path, come to the Sirati Mustaqim, come to the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's success in this. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the greatest success. There's no greater success. A person with $1 billion and $1 trillion, and he can have all the world's money at his disposal, and that person is not successful. And today, in today's terms, in dunyavi terms, we measure success that the person, oh, he lives in so and so area, or he drives such a car, or he possesses such a watch or whatever, or he has such a phone. He is a successful person, a successful businessman. That is not success. Success is a person who he can be sitting in a masjid there, he can be sleeping on the floor, and he can have a stone in his pillow, but he is obedient to Allah Ta'ala's commands, and he follows the lifestyle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is the successful person. Now we need to understand that. We need to get it into our skin and into our blood that this is the true success. Allah Ta'ala says it. And وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That person who follows Allah and he follows the base of some way, then he has earned and he has achieved great success. Now speaking about the next ayat, وَمَا لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala speaks about those people who spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala before Fath Makkah. Now if we remember that Fath Makkah took place in the 8th year after Hijri. And before that, there were many, many battles fought. Battle of Badr, Uhud, and so many other battles that took place. And the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, they gave their lives and they gave their wealth. So much, everything. Some Abu Bakr gave everything of his, whatever he owned. And what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what did you leave? And Abu Bakr says, I left Allah and his Rasul. That means I left my trust. I left my trust in Allah and his Rasul. I don't need anything. Allah Ta'ala will replenish. And so Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is wrong? What is wrong with you? Why don't you spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala? And Allah Ta'ala is now reminding us, وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs the inheritance of the heavens and the earth. That what you own is not yours. When you die, your children, your wives, everybody else will take it. When they die, whatever they have, they're going to leave it for their heirs and so on. And until it comes to the day of Qiyamah, and everything goes back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So what else? When you say, that is mine, you know, it's mine. In Gujarat, say Maruche. Nothing is Maruche. Everything is Mariluche. Everything is going to die. Everything is going to be obliterated. Everything is going to be destroyed. And so there's nothing that is mine. We know the story of Sheikh Zakaria, Rahmanay, that once his father asked him to bring the pillow, his pillow, and he said, Meratakya, in mine. And his father scolded him so much that he remembered it for the rest of his life. It's a lesson for us that nothing belongs to me. It's not mine. It's ours. Allah Ta'ala gave it to me to use, and I must use it and utilize it in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me. So everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. And it can't be that those who spend before Fath Makkah are the same as those who spend after Fath Makkah. Because the time to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala was before Fatih Makkah. And so it's like you celebrating after the war and people have come home and you didn't take part and now you're taking part in a celebration. It's not it's not yours to celebrate because you did not spend, you weren't there. You didn't put yourself in your life in the forefront. So the Sahaba, whom they put their lives before the Nabi of Allah, and they protected him tooth and nail until they were wounded, their hands were amputated, and their lives were given for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So those who spent in before the path of before Fatih Makkah, those people were not the same as those who spent after. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَاكَ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً مِنَ الَّذِينَ انْتَقُوا مِنْ بَعْدُ. That those people who spent before, they have a greater rank in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Now here another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, وَكُلَّهُ. Now you are referring to all the Sahaba, وَكُلَّهُ وَكُلَّ الصَّحَابَ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Husna here refers to Jannah. That Allah Ta'ala has promised all the Sahaba Jannah. So whether you fought before Fatih Makkah, whether you spent before Fatih Makkah, you spent after Fatih Makkah, you are Sahabi, you had Iman, you saw Rasulullah with Iman, you passed away with Iman, you are Sahabi, you are greater than any Buzruk in the world. And a Sahabi is greater than any Buzruk, all the Buzruks put together in the world. The Sahabi, the lowest ranking Sahabi, even that Sahabi who in the Battle of Uhud, he was not a Muslim, and when he came to the Battle of Uhud, he asked Rasulullah some questions and he accepted Islam. On the battlefield, he accepted Islam and he threw himself into the thick of the battle and he fought so bravely and he became Shaheed. And the Sahaba asked, you know, a trivia question, that name me one Sahabi who accepted Islam and he didn't even read one salah, not a single salah, and he's gone to Jannah. And Amr bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the Sahabi, he didn't read a single salah, but he's gone to Jannah. Now speaking about Jannah also, we're drifting too far now. So I spoke to one brother. He has family in Palestine, and he says that the situation is so bad there. His family members, they live in one part of West Bank, that it's so bad that for months they didn't have water. Only now they resumed the water and the electricity to that place. You see, but the suffering they're going, you know, at night they come through the door, those Israeli dogs, they come through the door and they start shooting into the house, and they remove the men from the house and they beat them. And this brother's cousin, he's missing for a few weeks now. They can't find him because they, Allah, but you know what they did to him? The soldier took his foot and he dashed his head, this Muslim brother's head onto the floor. And because he had a beard, he ripped his beard off from his follicles. And Allah, but from he ripped his beard out from his face. That's what these people are going through, the Muslims are going through there. And every time, they only target this one person here. If every time he grows a beard, they pull it out and he grows a beard again. And he loves the Sunnah so much that no matter how many times he's going to pull his beard out, he's going to grow the beard again. And now he's gone missing. Allah Ta'ala protect him. Allah Ta'ala bring him back with afiyat. And then he was saying that, you know, the suffering that we are going through in the West Bank and other parts of Palestine, it's much milder. It's 100 times milder than what's going on in Gaza. And he says, subhanAllah, the people in Gaza are so resilient and that they're making so much of sabr and iman. You know, we look at the outward that, you know, these people are like this and like that. But if you walk through the rubble, through the streets of this rubble, you will smell musk and roses, the smell of musk and roses. The brother told me, he's there from Palestine. He said, you smell musk and roses. So Allah Ta'ala, He can do as he pleases. Allah Ta'ala knows why he is doing this here, that why this is happening. This is a test for the people there. And it's a test for us, that are we also feeling the pain of those people? Coming back to the ayat, Allah Ta'ala has promised all the Sahaba Jannah. And nobody can talk anything bad about any Sahabi. And the tafsir we even have, where did we get it from? We got it from the Sahaba. So if you take the Sahaba out of the equation, you won't have any tafsir. You won't have any Quran. You won't even have a Quran. Because the Sahaba brought the Quran to us. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the Sahaba the Quran. The Sahaba then they put it into book form as Uthman radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, and then now we have the Quran in a book form in front of us. It's the Sahaba who brought Islam to us. If it wasn't for the Sahaba, we wouldn't be Muslims. And every hadith of Rasulullah that came to us is through the Sahaba. So how can the Shia people, the Kafir Shias, how can they beguile and how can they ridicule the Sahaba radiallahu anhum? Look at it. Radiallahu anhum. Allah Ta'ala says that Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they already have Jannah. And they already have guaranteed Jannah. Allah Ta'ala has already promised them Jannah. Allah Ta'ala has forgave their sins. And the Sahaba, they were there by Rasulullah, by the feet of Nabi Fasan. And they were there through everything, through all the good times and the bad times. They were with Nabi Fasan. So Allah Ta'ala has forgiven them. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. And can we say Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us? That's why we make dua, Allah Ta'ala be pleased with us. Then Allah Ta'ala take us away from this dunya with iman. When Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us, when we're doing good amal. And Allah bima ta'amaluna khabir. And Allah is aware of what you do. Then Allah Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen. And speaking about the munafiqeen, there is one environmentalist or climatologist. And he is now commenting on the Sharia. What he says, that the masajid in Gauteng, in Joburg, they don't have facilities for women. Yeah? So they don't have facilities for women. And what he says, oh, not so much of bunkum he speaks. He says that the salah, right? It's true, the salah in a masjid is 27 times greater than the salah that you're going to read outside the masjid. Right? So what jama'at is 27 times greater than salah without jama'at. But now he's saying, no, it applies to the women also. And then he's taking out all kinds of hadith, and then he's even going against those hadith. But no, this doesn't apply to these times here. We must and then he's bringing his childhood stories, his childhood memories, that no, this when I was a young boy, then I used to play in the courtyard of the masjid. So those were the best days of my life, and those were the worst days of your life, because you disturbed the musallis in the masjid. And you disturb the Muslims in the masjid. And the woman's place, Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُنَّ. It remain glued in your homes. Remain in your homes. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even says that the best place for a woman is to read salah in her house, and not only in a house, in the inner recesses of a house, right in the middle of a house, where nobody can see through the windows that there's a woman here inside the house and reading salah. That is the women, how we're supposed to treat our women. Not take them out into to the masjid. We look at Houghton Masjid, West Street. They made a separate, okay, they had a facility for women there. They even extended it into the men's side, into the courtyard area, that because there's so much of women coming in the month of Ramadan for Taraweeh, Salah, and that they had to make the area bigger for the women. Now, what is this here now? One morning I was giving a talk the other day in one of our masajid here, and he's saying that, okay, fair enough, women in the time of Nabi Qasim, they came to the masjid, right? And so people say that women must be allowed to come to the masjid. But then we say that don't overlook the fact that in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, see what guidelines there were. In the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a separate entrance, a separate door for the women. And the women used to cover themselves properly when they used to come to the masajid. And the women, the men were not allowed to go through the door. And so what is he trying to say? In the end, he didn't give a final natija, that a conclusion, that what, women are allowed to come or not allowed to come. From what he was giving, that the line he was giving is that women are allowed to come. If they have a separate entrance and they come cleared properly, and then they can come to the masjid. And so then what about the Sahaba say? What does Umar used to go and frighten the human when he used to come to the masjid, that they must run back home. And what Aisha says, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive today, then he would not allow the women to come to the masajid. And looking at the time of the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, and looking at that time, already it was Khairul Qurun, and in those times already, it was fitna was emerging. And because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, the fitna started emerging. And the Aisha says that if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was alive, then he wouldn't allow the women to come to the masjid. And nowadays, people say, Munafiqin, they say, no, the women must come to the masjid. And they must also come. And why do you want, you want every man, because the women are going to come there, they're going to parade, and they're going to be standing there with their fancy abayas and their tags on their pardas and their flashy handbags, and they're going to come there. And then the men are going to eye them, and they're going to look at them, and then you happy with this year? Are you happy with this year? You are deus. If you're happy with this year, then you are deus. You're cuckold, because you are happy with another man looking at your wife. And your wife is for you. Keep your wife in your house. Don't bring your wife to the masajid. Your wife must stay in the house. And you don't take your gold coins and walk around and flash it to everybody that say, no, this is mine. See what I got. See what, you know how much this thing is worth. Your wife is worth everything. Keep your wife in your house. Don't bring your wife to the masajid. And some ulama also now, they advocating that the women must come for a night salah. They must come for Sabina. They must come at a night time, 12 o'clock midnight. They must come out of their home. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. At night, you must bring your wives to the masajid. You have to read salah. And what kind of times we're living in? We're living in very, very bad and dark times. And if we don't speak about these things, then Allah Ta'ala's azab is going to come on us. In Bani Israel, there was azab. Allah Ta'ala sent an azab to the people to destroy them. And the malaika said, Ya Allah, there's one banna of yours. He is a very pious slave of yours. Allah Ta'ala must we destroy him as well. But then we tell him to leave the city. Allah Ta'ala says, his eyes didn't even better at the disobedience of the people in the city. So destroy him and destroy them also, all of them. So if we, if the ulama don't speak out of the wrong and the ills that's going on around in the community, then Allah Ta'ala's azab will come on all and sundry. And the dark clouds are hanging over this country. And we talk about, you know, that is happening in America and that is happening in Canada, in the UK, and India. It's happening now in front of our eyes, in our own country, in South Africa, it's happening. And all these things which are happening in other parts of the world is happening now in our country. It's very sad. And who is introducing all these fitnas here is our ulama. Imagine, the time will come, the Islam said that the worst people under the canopy of the earth, the canopy of the sky is going to be the ulama. The ulama is too. These ulama are destroying our deen from inside. You know, we have an enemy from inside. The enemy from inside is worse than the enemy from outside, because the enemy from the outside you know is the enemy. The enemy from inside you trust him. He is killing you from the inside. So this is the times. These are the times we're living in. Allah Ta'ala save us from all these fitnas. And the what Nabi Sallam explained, that the time before Qiyamah, that like how you break a bee, all the bees fall one after the other. This is the time we're seeing. And one day you hear one story, and the next day you hear something even worse than that day. And every day is even getting worse. So Allah Ta'ala safeguard our iman. Allah Ta'ala safeguard our children's iman. What's going to happen to our children in our time? We're seeing it before our eyes. What's going to happen in our children's life? Allah Ta'ala keep us all with iman. Take us all with iman. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا لِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, for these pertinent advice, pieces of advice. We appreciate it. Request your du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.